Well, this is a far cry from 10 or 12 people or 15 that I normally get to preach to. It's a blessing. I come here and I feel like I'm amongst friends. And only, it's beyond that, friends that truly love one another. And that's so important with God's people, and it's a forgotten quality. Love takes you so much further than you can go yourself. I want to start off this morning for those churches that have supported us and helped us. I'm so thankful, and the Lord has blessed us. Our newsletter is way late, and I apologize for that. Last month, I pretty well sat in a chair with my back and had some sickness going on. You know, when you're not feeling good, you just don't feel like doing a lot of things. Well, that just kind of got put off and put off. So I apologize for that. And Lord willing, we'll get a newsletter out to everybody. We do believe in an open policy. In other words, if it's one of my Baptist friends, that policy is pretty well open to anybody. And if you have any questions about monies or anything like that, you're free to any information that I have. And I just want you to be aware of that. Seems like that we're living in a day when you just don't know. Some of the things that are going on and taking place amongst our missionaries and pastors and various ones. So I'm just letting you know. And Brother Dan or somebody wanted to know anything about my finances, he not only can ask, he can look and see what our income is and what our expenses are and all this kind. A missionary should never have to hide things like that. And you might wonder, well, why are you bringing something like that? Because it's necessary. And so we desire your prayers. We need your prayers. We know without your prayers, we can do nothing. And without God's help, we are nothing. And so we need you. We need your prayers, your spiritually holding up our arms that we might bring out God's word. Today we're going to deal, by God's grace, dealing with the men of God, preaching with boldness. Now, I used to have a preacher, I won't mention his name, I haven't noticed him here yet today, but he used to say to me, well, one of these days the Lord's going to turn you loose. What he meant by that is he's going to just give me liberty and I can preach louder and louder and bang on the pulpit and do this and that and carry on. Well, I guess I haven't been turned loose yet. I don't do too much banging. I hope the Holy Spirit does a little more than that. And by his grace. I just want to bring the message, let God bring the very words to all our hearts. And it's that way, you young men of God. And I like Brother Irving and I, we spent a week down south there together, and he was telling me about an experience he had talking about older preachers. Then he started looking around in the assembly he was at, and he looked around, and he was the older preacher. And, well, there's nothing a whole lot wrong with that, but I'm older than he is. So we're getting there. I'm never going to catch Brother Hamill. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's just going to keep on going by God's grace. And that's just it, by God's grace. Notice with me this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm not going to bring anything new out to you. If I do, stop me. You should already have heard these things. And for the younger preachers here today, if it seems like that I'm jumping right into your face and and stomping all over your feet and just picking on you personally, well, praise the Lord. Preachers need to be admonished. Preachers need to be exhorted. Now, for all the rest of us, it's just free for you. And this is when you church members, you can just sit back and say, let him have it, let him have it. Well, got to remember, I'm talking to myself too here now. And if anybody needs it, it's me. And I can't look at Brother Dan and say, well, he needs this and he needs that. I don't know. But I do know that we all need the Lord. And we need only what he can give. So don't get on a high horse and look down on me because I'm a sinner. Brother Hamill was talking about physics and we were talking about white and so on. I don't even know how to spell physics. I didn't have that in school. And somebody, oh, I guess it was Brother Collins. I don't like pink shirts on men. I'm honest with you. I just... Brother Cummins, what color shirt do I always wear? Let me give you a hint. I got one other colored shirt in my closet, and it's light brown. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's why I'm just plain. But I found out I wasn't plain after all. I'm just radiating eight color all over the place, and I didn't know it. Wow. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice with me in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase in more ungodliness. You know, I'm looking about and I'm seeing with a lot of young preachers, and bear with me for a moment here. They're not getting taught. I was amazed talking to some preachers, and I just assumed everybody knew it, except for white, of course. Everybody knew some of the basic things that we all, I thought, knew. Somebody's let down their standards. And I'm going to blame the older preachers for that, if the younger preachers haven't got it. I know the Lord's got to reveal it. I know the Lord's going to have to instill those truths in all our hearts. But there's many out there that are not qualified to be in the pulpit. You might not agree with that, but when they don't even know some of the simple, basic truths of God's Word, something's wrong.
Right.
Something's wrong. And then they come up with all kinds of ideas. Well, let's do it this way. I think it'd be a lot better doing it this way or that way. God doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need to hear from you how to do things. What he needs to hear from me and you is, yes, sir, I'll do it by your grace. But there's many today that have the idea that I'm going to go down my own path, and if nobody, I guess nobody catches me or whatever. But there's a lot of folks today that are clueless. Now, I'm talking about preachers now. They're absolutely clueless. I won't use names, but I talked to one younger preacher just the other day, and something I just assumed every young preacher would know about, and he didn't even know what I was talking about. We need to study. If your pastor's not teaching you, young preacher, you need to learn. You need to get into the Word of Truth.
Amen.
And stay there.
Amen.
And stay there. And stay there.
Amen.
And stay there until the Lord comes back. The Word of God is what we're going to be judged by one day. It's not what your pastor thinks. It's not what the church thinks. It's what Jesus Christ says. And this is the judgment book right here. And us preachers are the ones that are going to have to be judged the greatest, because where much is given, much is required. And that's scary. We need to understand that. Look with me. I have to think about it for a second. In the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, don't you love it when the Lord just takes you other directions and stuff? In the book of Hebrews, I had to think about where I was at there for a second. Maybe I'll find it. Thank you, brother. Yeah, Brother Minnie was trying to teach me about that, and then we forgot what we were talking about, so then it didn't matter after that, did it? You know, I'm one of the very few people that can live a perfect life. I can start out with the greatest intentions in the world, and I forget where I was when I got there. And then I look around to see where I've been. Now, just for you honest people out there, you ever drive down the road? You've been down this road a gazillion times. A gazillion times. I don't know how far that is, but a gazillion times you've been down this road, and all of a sudden one day you look up and, where in the world am I? Oh yeah, go ahead and laugh, but your day's coming too. It's going to happen. I see some honest people here. I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one that had that problem. All right, notice with me in Hebrews chapter 13. Remember them that have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. I want to mention something here. I'm seeing a lack of leadership amongst a lot of preachers today. You say, oh, that can't be. They don't stand for anything. You know the old saying, if you don't stand for anything, you're going to fall for everything. Amen. And we need to understand today, we need leaders that are being led of the Lord and will take a stand with all the boldness and conviction that God gives. But where are those preachers today? Well, I just can't stir up the church. It might cause all kinds of problems. If you can't do it, who can? Your job is to lead the church, not the church leading you about. Our job is to be an example to the flock. The flock's job is to follow that example. And yet we see many that have turned us all around. They have no clue why the preacher's there. They want somebody to preach to them, but they don't want somebody to pastor.
That's right.
Say, so you haven't been down that road yet? It's coming. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or behavior. Well, he's just preaching. That's his opinion. Let me make a comment and take it good, I hope. When the preacher is preaching, thus saith the Lord, it's not just his opinion.
Right.
And that's God speaking to us. And so, you young preachers, when you get up to preach the word of God, remember all you are is his spokesman. And you can't turn, you can't prick, you can't make a person repent. You don't have that ability.
Right.
But you have the ability by God's grace to preach the word.
Right.
How can I say this? What's the word that I want? You want to proclaim the word. You want to scream the word. Well, not quite like Sister Titus when you greet her for the first time in the world. She has quite a, well, she has quite a glee to her, doesn't she? Just teasing. I think a few pastors need a little more. They need to get excited over the Word of God. Well, you're getting old, you're getting tired. I don't buy that. I believe you get tired. I believe you get old. But that's no reason to lose the love affair with God and His Word.
Amen.
I'm sure if I would say to J.R. right now, Brother J.R., you want to trade place with me right now? He'd get down here as quick as he could. No. Take that walker away from that man. Look with me while we're in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they have watch for your souls. You understand what it just said there? It's a good thing that you have a pastor watching over your souls. You say, well, what he's preaching doesn't feel good. What he's preaching really hurts. Let me prove some things to you. How happy are you with the preacher when he says, when we discipline one of our family members, we're to withdraw ourselves? How many times do you hear that in pulpits nowadays?
Right.
You sing today where everything goes, you discipline them, so-called, and then you treat them like nothing's ever happened. The Bible's still true. What it says is still true, and we have to march according to it. You say, well, the preacher's just mad at my family. No, he's not. He's showing love when he's preaching the Word of God. He's showing you the best respect you could ever get from anybody. Notice what it says. As they, those who have an account over your soul, they must give an account. Do you realize that every young preacher, you realize everything you preach, you're going to have to give an account for that?
Right. Amen.
Okay. Everything you say, you're going to have to give an account. Everything you do, you're going to have to give an account. This will get me in trouble, but I thought it was wrong. Man talks about being dressed modestly. A preacher. Then he goes around on his motorcycle, barebacked and half clothed and what have you. I don't think that's right.
All right, amen.
The Bible's still true. I don't care if you've been preaching for 50 years. It's still as true today as it was yesterday.
Amen.
And it's time for, if the older preachers are not taking the standard, it's up to you to pick it up and start carrying that standard. We need to, here's the word now, you preachers, you need to learn, it's a big word, it's a devastating word. All you have to say is no. Isn't that the word your wife just loves to hear, brother? Well, can I buy this? I'll save you all kinds of money. No. My wife don't really like to hear that. But she submits. She gives God the honor and glory. And then she might realize, well, you got to have money to buy that. You realize that a pastor needs to say the same thing to a church once in a while? That there's times when the Holy Spirit gives you freedom of doing something, and there's times the Holy Spirit does not. There's times to march off in doing that mission work, and then there's time to hold back because the Holy Spirit is not directing or giving you liberty to doing that. We need some Spirit-led preachers. Not only having the boldness to say no, but also the boldness to say go.
Amen.
And be able to go and march according to God's word. Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Preach the word. On and on and on. Preach the word. Be constant in that preaching. I won't turn to this scripture, but in Luke chapter 10, it talks about we need laborers. You ever consider that word? When you hire somebody and you put them to work, don't you expect some labor out of them? You expect if the Lord called you into the ministry, he'd expect any labor out of you. I'm afraid that we're seeing that there's many that are lazy. Uh-oh. Lazy preachers? How long does it take you? All the time. Why are they saying this to me, Brother Hamill? People are always asking me, are you ready? I guess I said today, tell me when I get done. I didn't know I was going to Hebrews until we went to Hebrews, and then some other preacher had to find it for me. All right, that leads me to my next point. A preacher should not be shy or gun-shy of taking advice and counsel from his elders.
Amen.
Well, he's not exactly my elder, but you know what I'm saying. We need to not march to our drumbeat, but the Lord's drumbeat. And sometimes we need older preachers for advice. Sometimes I learn some of my greatest lessons from younger preachers. It's amazing. If you think you got all the answers now, look out, because the older you get, the less answers you have.
Amen.
You don't understand that right now, maybe, but when you get older, you'll find out, boy, I was dumb back then. Oh, if I would only listen to J.R. then. If I would have only listened to Brother Hamill back then. I can talk about them. Young preachers, are you willing to preach? Are you willing? You know, it is a warfare. I want to mention something here. Notice what they said in Matthew 22 and verse 16. And it's talking about Jesus here, but he's our leader. He's our guide. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Young preachers, if you've been called by God, you have the highest calling there is.
Amen.
You have the most authority there is on this earth, apart from the church, of course. And people back up and get shy about what other people think. Well, my parents or my relatives or whatever. Some people just don't understand why. I'll show up if they got a pink shirt on, brother. I don't draw the line on that. But when there's a homosexual there, I don't show up. When they practice it. Sorry. Oh, I'll go preach to them. I'll go talk to them. I'll try to lead them to the Lord, but I will not be around and they're flaunting their sin.
Amen.
In a family get-together. Won't do it. Here's one of the rules, and maybe you have different rules, but if my children come back into my household, they go to church.
Amen.
That's the right thing.
Amen.
One thing that I'm finding out that there's many pastors today that have children that don't go to church, don't behave. They're going out and living lives that are abominable before the Lord. Wow. Do they have their house in order? As young preachers and older preachers, we have to have our house in order. We have to have an order that we're an example to those around about us. I believe that the wife ought to be the chaste keeper at home.
Amen. Amen.
Some places I don't get an amen on that. You know why? Because there's too many preachers' wives that are anywhere but at home. And we need to understand the Bible's still true. My Bible says it's even an abomination. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Or blasphemy, I mean. That's pretty serious stuff. How are you doing in these things? Notice with me in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to point out some things to us. When's the last time you preached the doctrines of grace? Church truth, scriptural baptism, scriptural observance of the Lord's Supper. When's the last time you taught on these things, preachers? Sometimes we get on a favorite and we just stick like a broken record on that favorite. Well, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. But you notice it also says rightly dividing the word of truth, discerning the truth, understanding the truth. I read that, and some of you scholars can get me all straightened out, but I find out you got to know your Bible to do that. And to understand the scriptures is to tell others about it. Now, if you notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And I see this amongst preachers, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Here's the danger of us preachers not preaching, thus saith the Lord. You can go to church and tickle their ears. You can go to church and tell them all about how you love them. Not a bad thing. But if that's all you're doing, there's something missing. The Bible talks about, and Paul says he preached the whole counsel. He was faithful to do that. And I want you to notice something. If we fail to preach the truth, look who's going to pick up the slack.
That's right.
Doctrines of devils.
Amen.
God's ministers are going to preach their word, and this is what people... You know, I've heard people... I can't remember which one you said it. Doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway. You don't have any business listening to those people on radio, television.
Amen.
What are you going to learn from them? If you have the truth and you're practicing the truth, and as far as I'm concerned, from cover to cover, this is the truth you need to know. Do you think that the Lord's going to give the truth first to somebody else and then to you? If you're called to preach God's word, He gives you these things. This is rich. Now, you might not agree with that, and you might say, well, I'll glean what I can. There's some young preachers that are not mature enough to do that. That's scary. You say, well, I'm above that. I got Dr. So-and-so behind my name, in front of my name, and through my name, and let everybody know who I am. I'm somebody. You've lost already. Pride's got your head so big, it's unbelievable what you would believe about yourself. Pat me on the back and tell me how wonderful I am. I found out every scriptural God-called man of God doesn't get high and proudful. He gets more humble.
Amen.
As he learns the word of God. Well, it doesn't end there. Let's jump down to verse 11. In verse 11, these things command and teach. How many church members love for their pastors to command them? Whoops. Brother Dan, here's another one for you. You know the scripture where it talks about rebuke them openly that others may fear? Well, I'm, and I borrow this from Brother Jones, Aunt Sally, I had to use, or Uncle George, I put a different name there. You're going to have to live with it. It's your duty to preach the Word of God. And He tells us in preaching the Word of God, sometimes we have to command. All right. Preacher, you're wrong. You think a preacher loves to hear that? Not any of them I know. Well, I'm going to break the string right now. I'd rather be corrected and right than not corrected and always be wrong.
Amen.
So, all you ladies, don't think it's your duty and obligation to run up here and tell me how to get that straightened out. We'll let the men take care of that, okay? But there's many today that are being wagged around by women. And they're called Jezebels by some names. I have seen down through the years, I'll give you an example. I was pastor of one church for 70 days. Well, I didn't think it was funny at the time.
Amen.
Well, I really improved the next one. I was there for 7 months. You know what was lacking? They wanted a preacher, but they didn't want a pastor.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, so I went to the third church. The same problem there. But I lasted a little longer. You men of God, it doesn't matter. If you're for there 7 minutes, if you're preaching, thus saith the Lord, and doing it God's way with His leadership, it doesn't matter who takes it. It's God's job to make it.
Amen.
He's the one that opens our heart. He's the one that reveals truths. He's the one that can make repentance come. He can make a whole church fall on their knees.
Amen.
And I tell you right now, He can make every preacher in this auditorium today fall down on their knees and say, God, you're right.
Amen.
And I'm wrong. You say, well, I haven't seen a meeting like that. I have. Brother Hamill has. I've seen where almost every preacher in the house, and it was more full than this one. They had chairs in the back there. This is right here at this church. You know what happened? God's people were open to God's Word. God's men were preaching God's Word. The Holy Spirit was quickening, making alive, and oh, I like that.
Amen.
I like to see God working on me. How about you?
Amen.
In the scripture here, let's go to verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers. Did you hear that? Even when you're a young preacher. I remember when Brother Darrell was a real young preacher. He's saying, yeah, that was a long time ago. But you know, a lot of people look at a young preacher with disdain and saying, well, what can he tell me? He can give you the words of life. He can give you the truth that you need. See, a lot of times we're just out of tune. We don't understand. I got to hurry on here. Be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation to doctrine.
Amen.
All right, now I might be getting in some fuzzy ground here, so you preachers get me straightened out later. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. I believe that to be true. A lot of people today say, well, that's just symbolism. Wait a minute. Did that say symbolism there? Let's see. Given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. When a man's ordained, he's been set apart for a purpose. I personally believe, now maybe I'm the only one here, but I personally believe when the laying on hands takes place, the gift of that prophecy that was talking about this is passed along unto him. And this is when it really gets quiet. You can take note of that right now. Now, you say, I don't believe you're right. Fine. What if I am? So don't dismiss me. Study it out and see. And you'll find out that maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, or you might find out that, wait a minute, the Word of God does say that. I wonder why it says that. Does the Word of God just fill in pages to take up space? I don't think so. But it's there for a reason. I got to go quickly here. And verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. By the way, preachers, don't worry about all the other preachers. And unto the doctrine. That seems to be a primary concern. Continue in them. Well, I'm going to let these things go now. Today we do things differently anyway. I guess I might as well say it. I don't believe in a junior church either. I believe that's two bodies, not one. And I don't see it in the scriptures. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to a preacher, and more pointedly, a young preacher. All right, let's hurry on. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me start in verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and desolate of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Did it say go and have fellowship with them? It said from such withdraw thyself. There's a time and place for everything. And for the man of God, he's got to live a separate life. He's got to be peculiar. He's a set apart vessel for the Lord. And God's people, now listen to this, preachers, God's people expect the man of God to be separate, even though they might not choose to do it themselves. And so we have to watch for that. Real quick now, in Titus chapter 2, book of Titus chapter 2. In the book of Titus chapter 2, this is one of those, it could go on forever type message. In chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Should it be important to us? Yes. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience. And aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home. Did I make that up? Isn't that what God's word says? Okay, I got to stop because this is so important. How many people believe in tithing?
None.
I believe in tithing. But how many of us who tithe believe in giving?
Right.
Wow, that's good. How many people believe that tithing comes blessings?
Amen.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. If God tells you to do something and we don't do it, should we expect blessings? No. You say, well, in my family, we need all the income we can get. I know. You're saying, stay out of that woods. It's the wrong place to go. I believe you can make it just fine if you put God first.
Amen.
You don't need those two cars. Whoops. You don't need that boat you're pulling along behind you. You don't need that camper. You don't need that new house. Well, I can see some of you disagree with me. Boy, somebody just give a bunch of sour pickles out or something. You don't need it. What we need is godliness. What we need is, thus saith the Lord, and follow him. You say, well, our family would fall apart. Your family would learn what the beginnings of what God says, and to follow him is blessings. Blessings. You say, well, I could never let my wife quit. Let me interpret that for you. If I let her quit, then I can't keep up my lifestyle.
Right.
You ever think about maybe your lifestyle's wrong?
Right.
Well, trust me. If your pastor doesn't say it, I'm going to say it for him. Be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Amen.
Either it's right or not. If it's thus saith the Lord, it's right. You say, preacher, you don't know how hard and how difficult it is for us. Well, I've been married a few years. Why do you laugh about that? My wife hasn't worked. She had a little short stint, and after the kids were out of the house, and I didn't like it. I like it going home, smell fresh bread cooking and stuff like that. You say, well, it's all about me. Well, maybe. But the Lord said for my wife to be my helpmate. Now, it's kind of hard to be a helpmate if you're not even around. I don't know how we got on this, Brother Dan, but here we are. Young preachers, these are just some of the things that you ought not to back up with. You ought to teach. Now, some of you might disagree with some of the things I'm saying, but there's plenty other things that we've let down our standards in. And we got to hang tough with them. Things like scriptural baptism. It's got to be from a scriptural church, a scriptural way, and God's way all the way. But where are some of our churches today? Or they're letting everybody in the world into their church and finding out all of a sudden their church is half full of lost folks. What happened? We've let down some standards. My time's long gone, but you pray about this. Young preachers, if you ever have any question, there's your man right over there. Now you talk to any of us. You need to talk to each other. And some things, Brother Hamill might be the best one for you to speak to. And Lord help us all if we have to all speak to Brother Collins, you know. What color was that shirt you were wearing, Brother? Pray for each other. Pray for me. And pray for our preachers. These days are getting darker, not lighter. Always remember this, though. The darker the days are, brother, the lighter we should look, and brighter. Lord bless you.